Father, soften our hearts, ready us to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take your seats. Jesus calls his disciples, "Follow me." Jill began her sermon last week by saying that she's not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go a step further this morning. I absolutely hate them. I don't do them. I haven't done them in years. Lots of people politely asked me on Epiphany Sunday, "Oh, what are you doing this year?" And I sort of awkwardly danced about a bit. So I'm going to confess to you now, nothing. I'm doing absolutely nothing. I don't do New Year's resolutions. And this is because I used to. I used to do them, and I have stopped completely because I have never kept one. Not one ever. And that left me depressed and feeling quite bad about myself. I think the reason for this is that New Year's resolutions are basically rooted in striving, in self-help, in self-improvement, which are things I fundamentally don't agree with. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't improve as people. I think that is a good thing. I think it is right that we aim to improve. Not that many weeks ago, I preached a sermon on our calling being our character and a Christ-like character being costly. I'm a very driven, goal-orientated person. I long to be a better person than I am now. It's just that I recognize I don't have the power to do that myself. I can't work there of my own merit. And the calendar clicking over to a new day and a new year, I don't think, does that much to change those circumstances. I do know what does work. The slow and steady and gentle and deep transforming power of the Spirit of God at work within us, from the inside out. Because there is power in the name of Jesus, more than we can ask or imagine, to change us, to change our circumstances, to change circumstances around us through us, if we let him. The gospel reading that we have heard this morning, John the Baptist points to Jesus. In fact, everything John the Baptist did in his whole life that we are aware of pointed to Christ. And John refers to him as the Lamb of God. Now, nowadays we have different immediate associations with lamb. You might hear lamb and think Sunday roast. For the non-meat eaters among us, you might think of frolicking, beautiful lambs and springtime. But in those days, lamb predominantly meant sacrifice. John is making it very, very clear from the outset. Jesus is going to be the ultimate sacrifice. Leading on from the teachings of the prophets before him, it is clear from the outset where Jesus' life will end. He will lose his life for us. He wants us to be under no illusions. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And this is fantastic news for the Jews. This is a new and a better story for them. This is their new Exodus. But time goes on, and we learn later in John's gospel that Jesus is going to go about upsetting some religious people. He's going to smash down some walls. He's going to upset a few people because he's going to tell the world that this love actually is not just for the Jews, it is for the Gentiles. It is for everyone. It is for you and it is for me. N.T. Wright said, "God's rescue operation is going to move. It is moving out wider than Israel. It is going to embrace the whole of creation." And this is not just for those who are of a certain pedigree. This is not for those just who have certificates of belonging or certificates of achievement. This is not just for those who went to the most prestigious university in the land or those who dropped out of school at the age of 13. This is not just for anybody. He will pursue each and every one of us with his love. This is not for those with a certain accent or social demographic or color of skin or background or ethnicity. He will pursue each and every one of us with his love. So this year, the year of our Lord 2020, I resolve one thing. I resolve to follow him. That is my resolution this year. I resolve to follow him. And I want to spend a little bit of time now looking at what following him might look like. There's a slide that will come up with something that I posted to my social media, stolen from someone else recently. This year, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to hang out with sinners, upset religious people, tell stories that make people think, choose unpopular friends, be kind, loving, and merciful, and take naps in boats. The last one is really important. If you have no still time in your life, and I really struggle with this, particularly those with small children may struggle with this. If you have no still time in your life, you may not be effectively following Jesus. You may be striving, and we've all done it. We all slip into it. But resolving to follow Jesus this year might mean making more time to take naps in boats with him. It is perhaps the most important thing on this list. Other ways to follow Jesus. The interpretation of the Bible that we just heard is the NIV, and the title ascribed to this particular passage is John Testifies About Jesus. I so want that to be my epitaph. She spoke about Jesus, did a bit of stuff that looked a bit like Jesus, shook a few people up, upset a few religious people, broke a few rules, but really, really, really loved people, really loved on people. I want that to be our church's epitaph. We love on people. Let that be our lives. Let that be what we are known for, what we are famous for, radically loving on people, a bit like Jesus did. And of course, this is a two-way process because he pursued us first. He pursued us with his love first. He died in part so that his spirit would be poured out on all people. That sacrifice was made for all people so that all might have access to him by the power of his spirit. And the spirit was poured out in those days in the temple. But we know the curtain was torn, and we know the spirit pours out, and we know that today we, our bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we are filled with the spirit, so we are swept clean, so we are made new from the inside out, filled, equipped, and sent out, given a passion, given a mission, given a deep desire to do something about our world and the ability to do it. This is a two-way thing. What does that look like for us? God is looking for those with open and ready hearts, and he will never get tired of loving on us. He will never get tired of pursuing us with that love. So what does it look like for us? The wonderful news in this reading is that the disciples found themselves to be ordinary, bewildered folk who had heard a glimmer of good news. So they chose to follow this good news. They chose to follow Jesus. And we too are ordinary, perhaps slightly bewildered folk who have heard a glimmer of good news about this Jesus. And perhaps we got up out of bed this morning to come here because we want to pursue that. We want to follow that. We want to follow him. We want more. We want to know more. We want to be better equipped to tell more, to serve more, to be more like him, to follow him more tomorrow than we're going to do today. I long to follow the Lord more than I do currently. And let's let 2020 be the year that we press into him. What does follow me look like? I was pondering that question when I was writing this sermon and listening to some worship music, and the sensational song Oceans by Hillsong came on, and it just struck me that there was one verse that was particularly pertinent. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. We will walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. We resolve this year to dwell in the house of the Lord. And we know that doesn't mean a building. As much as I love this building, that means pressing into the presence of God. And we want this particular house to be open. We want both those doors wide open as much as we can physically get them. Sending a message to our community, this space is yours, come and be. But the house of the Lord is the Spirit within us. And pressing into intimacy with him is the only resolution that will make a difference to our lives this year. Seeking to know him more and to be known by him more. Of course, he knows us completely. But we put up walls and we put up barriers and we put up our busyness and we keep him at arm's length. But we can only have the revelation that we are loved exactly as we are when we allow him to love us in that way. Messy and real and broken before him. And unlike a New Year's resolution, this will change you from the inside out and will have eternal consequences. So let us relentlessly pursue the Lord this year. Let us pursue intimacy with him, pursue his presence. What does that look like practically? If you haven't been to a joint church's prayer meeting, can I urge you to do so? There is the most extraordinary presence of God, and that hour is one of my favorite in the month. It is a beautiful time of being together. I invite you, if you haven't been yet, in serving our community, in Alpha, where we proclaim the good news of Jesus, in stopping and taking a nap in a boat. Just being in the presence of God, refusing to hide in our Martha ways and making space to be still and to hear from him. Pursuing him in our workplaces. What would that look like for you to pursue him in your workplace, or if you are not currently working, the place where you spend most of your time, most of your day, what would that look like? What would it look like to love on your kids when they're being utterly vile to you? That looked like pursuing Jesus. What would it look like if we refused to find our identity in the stuff that we own and the things that we do, but choose to declare that we are children of the living God and allowing that knowledge of his love to seep into us and then to seep out from us, insisting on loving ourselves just as we are, because that's how he loves us. Not doing and doing and doing, but being quieted by his love, allowing his spirit to quiet us, turning Netflix off, turning our phones off, putting our devices down, finding something beautiful, gazing on something beautiful, making time to do that, drawing something beautiful, singing something beautiful, listening to something beautiful. And if you don't see beauty around you, create it, make it, mold it. Create the beauty. Because looking on Jesus inspires us. It inspires creativity within us. And that will look different for each of us. But that will be following him with all that we say and we do and the people that we are in the process of becoming like him. Christmas Eve of this year, at 9 p.m., I was doing what I believe the vast majority of vicars up and down the country are doing, trying to stay awake for midnight service, wrapping the presents, I haven't had time to wrap thus far, and drinking Santa's port. Finn and I were watching the Christmas Carol BBC adaptations. Absolutely superb. I think it's still on iPlayer if you haven't had the chance to see it. And there was one scene where I turned to Finn and said, that's going to appear in a New Year's sermon at some point. Today is the day. We know the story, of course. Scrooge is visited by three spirits who show him the harm that he has done to others and the harm that he will come to do if he doesn't change his ways. Now, for the purposes of this analogy, indulge me, and instead of three spirits, imagine that it has been a visitation by the Holy Spirit. We see in the coming scene the change that comes about in Scrooge. And we see also that it is not something he has strived for. It is not something he has worked for. It is as a result of a revelation within him. He has had an encounter that has changed him from the inside out. And we also see that this revelation doesn't make him beat himself up. He doesn't get depressed. He is full of joy and life and a conviction that he needs to do things a bit differently. He needs to change. They're going to load up the video now. And just to give it context, the particular scene at the end, you'll see him on a frozen pond. And just before, it's been revealed to him that Tiny Tim will meet an untimely death if he ice skates on this pond. So let's watch the video. In scattering the grit, he is taking his own life in his hands for the sake of another. An action taken on behalf of another without expectation of reward, he said to the lady with the grit. An action taken on behalf of another without expectation of reward. I'm not sure that there is a better definition of grace, of what Jesus has done for us. And that has the power, that encounter with God has the power to change us as it changed Scrooge. And so we go on and pass that power on. Towards the end of the episode later, we see him visiting his employee and ailing son, Tiny Tim. And while he is there, he says this: "My final item of company business is to draw up a check for £500 made payable to you, new books for Tim, ice skates for you, Belinda." Tim says, "Mum, how does he know about my ice skates?" "I know these things because I've been shown them by the spirits. I have been visited by spirits who have been summoned to grab me by the throat and drag me to a bright mirror so that I can see the truth." Tiny Tim asks, "Is this what happens when someone drinks laudanum, Mum?" "No," Scrooge replies. "This is what happens when someone finally understands what it is to be human. To be a human being fully alive, we must look at the one who was the first, only, and ever human being fully alive and remains alive today. When we go looking for Jesus, we find him and realize that he has been pursuing us this whole time. And this moment of encounter will change us for the rest of our lives. That changes us from the inside out. That will beat any New Year's resolution we have ever made by way of becoming more of who we were always intended to be. Let's follow him. Let's pursue him and make space for him. And as we do so, let's enjoy discovering that he has been doing that for us our whole lives long. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help in that. Help us to follow you, to seek you out, to not be afraid of intimacy with you, but press into that space with you. And we pray that you would change us and make us more like you as we realize your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.